Good morning, everybody. This is a project that we have been doing in the context of a service learning class at Penn State. We are taking undergraduate students to Kenya. They are doing a background research when they are here taking their class in the spring. And then they work with a Center for Street Children on exit opportunities for youth. And then they go to Kenya to try to implement some of the ideas that they have developed in collaboration with that center. So Kenya has a population of 45 million people, and there are a lot of youth. 42% are younger than 15. The urban population is growing. It is at the moment 24%, but it is growing at 4.36% per year. There is a lot of poverty in Kenya. 43% of the population lives below the poverty line. I think it is $2 per day. The unemployment is very high, 40%. So you can just imagine that the youth in Kenya are under in tremendous challenges. One of the issues that has happened over the past decades is there are a lot of children end up on the streets. 250,000 to 300,000 is the estimate of street children in Kenya, 60,000 of whom are in Nairobi. And this creates a lot of problems. The government is trying different things. One of them is establishment of this Children and Youth Empowerment Center, really spearheaded by an individual called Paul Mina. He is the director of the CYC. This is a public-private partnership to meet standards of service, program, sustainability, and successful exit. They have an intake program where the children are taken into the center. Sometimes they're dropped off by the police, they're picked up from the streets. Sometimes their parents bring them because they cannot take care of them. Sometimes they are orphans, they come in by themselves, different ways. Then, once they're in the center, and there are now about 130 children in the center, they receive their primary care, housing, education, health care. But an important part of this program is the exit program, and that's where we come in. We have been working with them on the exit program, and the director and leadership has developed this vision of establishing eco-villages, similar a little bit to the kibbutz idea in Israel, where the youth can live in a community and develop different businesses. So the eco-village program is called Zawadi, meaning gift in Swahili, meaning they want to convey the idea this is a gift back to society. They have received from others, and now they want to give back to society. The eco-villages are supposed to be an incubator of business enterprises focused primarily on agriculture and tourism. And they also intend to be a model of sustainable development to the surroundings, using appropriate technologies, environmentally sustainable technologies, stimulating entrepreneurship and land use and community planning. So I have been working with the CYC since 2009. We take undergraduate students there every year, together with some other colleagues of mine. And these are the, let me see the pointer. Can I use this one? This is the CYC located in Nyeri, Kenya. This is Mount Kenya. It's close to Mount Kenya. And these are the two pieces of land that they have been able to acquire for establishment of these eco-villages. One is in Lemuria, is 40 acres, and then 13 acres in Othaya. So the first eco-village site was in Lemuria. This is at 2,000 meter altitude. The precipitation is 600 millimeters per year, and it is extremely variable and bimodal system. Soils are quite heavy clay, cracking, shrinking clay in this particular area. And at the moment, the land is used for some sustainable subsistence agriculture. It's just used by some people in the community, really not very intensively. The land doesn't belong to them, but they just use it. They graze some livestock there. There is some honey production. It is a very excellent area for honey production. 10% of the land is used for irrigation. These are some of the crops that are being grown there. And there is also potential for ecotourism. Next to this village, there is a big safari farm owned by a very rich individual who flies over this village with his helicopter to take tea in Nairobi every morning. Anyway, We stumbled upon hay baling as a business in Lemuria. It was really, I never thought hay was going to be something we would be doing. We thought more about food crops with the poverty that is there. But we found on the road there were hay bales being sold. And when we inquired about them, they were very expensive from my perspective. It cost like $3 for a small square bale. And many people in Kenya don't make $3 even in a day. So we thought there might be some opportunity for making money for our youth. Another reason for going for hay was we tried to look at crop production, but dry land crop production is extremely risky. We had 1 year had good rainfall, another year there was complete crop failure in that particular area. So we thought it might not be such a good idea to go towards annual crop production on the dry land area because it's so risky. And then there is a lot of grass. This is the natural vegetation. It is a savanna environment, and there is a lot of grass being grown. Actually, this particular farmer was is in the village, and he actually owns a part of land, and he was making already hay bale there with that particular baler. But some of the issues were traditional pasturing is very low profit, and there was no really good technology for mowing and baling. So that's why we started to think about what can we do for our youth and how can we develop this into a business enterprise. So why is hay being sold? It is really because of the thriving dairy industry in Kenya. And that is very typical of Kenya and also in other countries in East Africa. But the Kenyan dairy industry is one of the largest in sub-Saharan Africa. Actually, it's worth $1.2 billion per year. It's larger than the horticulture sector and larger than the tea sector, which are very well known from Kenya. And it grows at a steady rate of 3 to 4% per year. And what is very interesting is that most of the milk is produced by smallholders. 600,000 smallholders, they have typically 2 or 3 cows, and they produce 70% of the country's milk. And interestingly, most of the milk is sold raw. It is not processed, not cooled, not nothing. It is sold, so it has to be sold within 1 or 2 hours after milking to the customer. And so the farms need to be where the customers are. And so the farms happen to be in the urban areas instead of being out in the country like what we are used to. Well, the result of this all has been very positive in a way. Kenya is self-sufficient in milk. And one of the things also is that zero grazing operations are increasing. So just sending your cattle out in the bush becomes less and less common. And the fodder has to be brought to the animals. And this has to happen in the urban environment. So typically, there is a shortage of feed, and that is why these farmers are willing to pay for hay with a very good price. The milk is typically sold, and that is generating income for them, which then they can take and use for, say, paying school fees. So we considered many different technologies, but in the end, I went back to my early days. We used the site in the Netherlands, where I'm from, and I thought this might be something to start with. So I learned myself how to use the scythe, how to sharpen it. And then I found a design for a manually operated hay baler that could be made with local available materials. So in 2011, in December, I gave a training workshop in Kenya. This time I went on my own. We typically go in the spring, but for this particular workshop, I went on my own. We sourced and priced materials for the baler. We organized, I worked with the youth, organized them in hay baling team, learned about the hay markets, and the youth developed themselves a marketing strategy. We originally thought that they would be producing the hay in Lemuria, but there was some problems with that. And so they found that the farmers in the area were actually willing to hire them, and they would just work for local farmers, make hay, make bales, and the farmers pay them for every bale that they make. And then they go on to the next farm. They don't have to worry about marketing. They don't have to worry about storage and stuff like that. So this all happened in the context of the Zawadi Society, which is a community-based organization, and they have to contribute back to the Zawadi Society 15% of their revenue so that the society can continue to help them. Also, the youth have been really diligent, and they're just great now friends of mine. Since I have known them for 5 years, I continue to communicate with them on a regular basis, usually via cell phone. But they also have collected data and kept on collecting data for business evaluation. So the input costs of the site were, you can see that here, the different things that you need for a site, $184 just to buy it here in the States and bring it over there. Then the materials for the baler were $130. And they can, this is John Dumby, he's the leader of their team, and he is a carpenter, and he makes those balers himself and has also made them for other farmers. So here are some of the costs and returns of the of two hay baling jobs. They have here one area, 1.8 hectares mowed, and there are 2 hectares. They made, in this case, 362 bales. There he made 177. The cost or the price they were paid per bale was about a dollar. So I took in all the expenses that they had. We took into account the payment to the CBO, and then I calculated the net revenue per person per day, because we really want to have them be able to make a living. They said to me at the beginning they would be happy with $4 per day, or something roughly, or $3 to $4 per day, because that is a typical wage that they could be getting in construction if they are carpenters. So you can see that there was a big difference in the, what they made here and what they made there. That was really due to the quality of the grass stand. So now they, after this, these were their first two jobs. Now they have become very aware that they need to evaluate the land and then make sure that they there's a good grass stand so they can make a good profit. So here are 9 jobs. This is a summary of 9 jobs. I didn't have data for 2013, but they did this in 2012 and 2014. They worked in the Mount Kenya area for different farmers. They worked 173 man days. They made almost 1,200 bales at a rate of about a dollar per bale. The average revenue for all these jobs was per person. They made about $4, and they made on average 5.3 bales per day. So this is my last line, just some observations. What we have found really beneficial is to start small, not big. If you're under a lot of pressure to have milestones and to produce results in 1 year or two, it would be very hard to get something like this started. Long-term continuity, it has been very beneficial for me to be there every year involved with this work and be in contact with these youth. It takes time to establish a relationship with somebody and to be a mentor. You need to really have expertise in agriculture. That was very important. It's not enough to just have a good feel attitude. You need to know something that you can contribute. But you also need to have an open mind, because I'm not a forage specialist, but lo and behold, I've been working with hay because we saw some opportunities. So you also need to have your open mind. Hands-on training is very important for these youth. They are not really likely to pick anything up from a book and study something from a video clip. If you work on side by side with them, they can pick up something very easily, and it's very important, but often something we overlook. Ownership by the youth. It's really important that they own their own business, that not somebody else is deciding about the money and stuff like that. The record keeping, they were very diligent with that, and that has really helped us to evaluate the profitability. I also started to recognize the importance of being a mentor for them. They call me regularly on the phone and they ask me just how I'm doing, and just that relationship is a very important part of doing this kind of work. And then the you cannot underestimate the value of the CYC and also the CBO, which is their context in which this has all been happening. Thank you very much.
We have a few minutes for questions specifically for Ashurd in this presentation, and then after that we'll have general discussion time.
Yes, please.
How are the hay bales being transported between where they were collected and farm sites?
So in this case, our youth are not at all involved in the transportation of the hay. The hay, only the hay needs to be transported. They have to take the hay, the loose hay, to the baler. Then they make the bales and they put it in the storage of the farmer. From that point on, the farmer has to deal with the hay bales. So since they work on many different farms, the farmers have to deal with that themselves.
Okay.
They are not, the bales are not for them. They are just doing this as a custom operation. See, these are destitute youth. They don't have themselves anything. They don't have typically land. They're former street children. So they are doing this just without having mostly any land or property. Yes.
Have you looked at the possibility of them buying the grass off the farmers, and then actually they own the bales and they're able to sell them and potentially like increase their profitability? Is that something you've explored at all? Or?
So, we would like to. Actually, I'm not repeating the questions. I'm supposed to do that, I guess.
Yes.
So the question is, we have looked into them gathering the grass themselves, basically buying the grass from the farmers, and then they are going to market the bales. This introduces a whole new level of complexity for them, which is that they have to have a truck or something to transport the bales. They have to have storage. And so at the moment, this is really working well for them and better than taking care of that. But we would really like to see if we can eventually produce hay at the Lemuria site. But it needs to be fenced because people are just sending their cattle in there and then trampling half of it and eating it. And so it's very hard for now to make. And then there are no buildings, so they can also not store the bales. And they don't have a building to live in. So it has a few problems there. Yes, please.
How do you think about
the
work?
Very good question. The seasonality of the work, and it is very seasonal, because in the wet season they cannot make any hay. So it is only during certain times of the year that they can make hay. Yes, very good question. Yes.
Is there any potential in the off-season to somehow market the balers?
Yes.
Elsewhere?
Absolutely. It's a good question too. What is the potential of the hay balers, manufacturing the hay balers, for farmers as being another source of income? And that's also what they have been doing. They have had a few balers that farmers ordered from them. Yes. So that's a good point. I would also like to look into silage production as another way of them doing custom silage production, but that is a different enterprise, and we need to work on that. But then they would have more opportunity to make also income during the wet season when it is not very good drying conditions. Any other questions?
So is this location suitable for Napier grass?
Napier grass is commonly grown, yes, but it's not suited for making hay because it's very stemmy and it does dry very slowly. So the major hay species that they prefer is Rhodes grass. It is a very good local species. Actually, East Africa is like a gene center for grass, for all these different grasses, since it's a savanna environment. So these are indigenous grasses, but they have some improved varieties of Rhodes grass. And that, if farmers want to improve their pasture, that is usually the first thing they do, is to seed Rhodes grass. And that is what they prefer. And that is actually, when farmers evaluate quality of the hay, they basically ask for Rhodes grass hay. That is the only quality, the measure of quality that they have. So we still have a lot of work to do, but for our youth, it's at least it is a start. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sir, thank you.